Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Woohoo! Boy, we love it when everything goes right. How you doing, Johnny?
Good afternoon, Daniel. I'm doing great, man. Thanks. How are you?
You think, you know, be a couple season guys get excited about things going the right way. But if you were listening to us last week, boy, it was just a laugh fest. Anyway,
the week before, right?
Oh, well, we got it right this time. Accountability versus responsibility. Man, this is a hot topic because, and I didn't realize after doing some research on the internet that people really do take this very seriously. And it's a great conversation to have because we got to ask ourselves, you know, does it matter? And does the old saying, the buck stops here, does it really stop? And is it really true? You know, so we're going to talk about that today, and we hope that you would feel inclined to give us a call, jump into the conversation, what you think it means, 347-677-1965. We'd love to hear your point of view on what this means to you, because I have a feeling that some of this is in the interpretation of what we think accountability versus responsibility, and it's everybody's point of view is very important. And yet we are in a global marketplace that is shifting and changing very rapidly as it pertains to how we do business and how it affects the bottom line and how we keep – one of the biggest things that we have to think about when you're talking about a business that has employees, and that doesn't matter if you have one or 1,000 or 20,000, retainability becomes a big issue. Because it sometimes will cost us more money to go out and get new ones rather than work with the ones of God. I know when I was in management and I was in charge of associates or employees, I always used to tell my management staff it's easier to coach them in and a lot cheaper than coaching them out. Johnny, what are your thoughts about that?
You know, that's absolutely right, Daniel. And I think there's a lot of confusion out there. And you'll hear people use language like, this is a classic, when they're engaging with a line-level employee, they will say, I am going to hold you accountable for the performance in this area. And it's a little bit puzzling because I think, first of all, you have to go back and you say, what is the difference? Is there a difference? And I would tell you, I'd submit that absolutely there's a difference. And in my mind, as I see it, is responsibility, I think about it in terms of as a task. Responsibility can be shifted. So if there's a task that, let's just say, we work on a collective team, and let's just say there's a period of 12 hours, let's say we're in a business, and I open our unit or our store or whatever the location may be, and I'm assigned a certain number of responsibilities. Throughout that day, I'm busy, whether it's with customers or whatever the environment may be. You come in the afternoon. I actually have the ability to actually hand some of those responsibilities off to you as a peer and as a support player. Accountability, however, is an absolute. Accountability is actually revolves around the actual outcome. So let's just say, while you and I are passing responsibilities back and forth, one of those responsibilities is we got to make sure that at the end of the day, the cash drawer gets counted and everything balances. If, in fact, that doesn't happen, although there'll probably be a very heated discussion and potentially dependent on how many times this has happened between the two of us, potentially some punitive action. But for the most part, it won't be much more beyond that. However, our supervisor or our supervisor's supervisor, whoever owns the business, will ultimately or was responsible for it, will ultimately be held accountable. So accountability always revolves more around an outcome, where the responsibility typically revolves around a task. And I think that's where a lot of the confusion comes, is because in today's environment, when you hear the language of accountability, I think there's another a common connotation that goes with it, is people naturally assume accountability is negative. And it's a shame because accountability actually is just as nice a word as it is a punitive word. And we use the language accountability 70% of the time should be used in terms of, especially in a business environment, as the opportunity to provide positive recognition. And so when you start talking about outcomes, as you were talking about earlier here, when you speak about retention, Daniel, I think a part when we get into the language of responsibility, that's when we get in the common conversation about behaviors, expected outcomes, performance management, all of those various types of language that we see commonly used in any business environment. But we cannot confuse the term of responsibility in completing tasks with accountability and ultimately the actual end outcome. All right, that's where a lot of the confusion exists before you can get much further beyond that dialogue, Daniel.
What's interesting is let's really dive in a little bit deeper and let's make sure we're all talking about the same thing here. Responsibility then, based on what Johnny just said, is transferable. Accountability is not. Did I say that right? I think I got
exactly.
That correct.
Exactly.
So if I'm accountable to something, it's personal. Because they're holding you. You don't hear someone. You do hear people say, I'm holding you responsible. But when they say that, I think they mean I'm holding you accountable. Because when you say I'm holding you responsible, that opens the gates for them to delegate that responsibility to someone else. But when you say to someone, I'm holding you accountable, that's a personal thing. It's like, Johnny, I'm holding you accountable for this, for the cash register coming up correctly. You can't pass on that responsibility. It is yours. It is yours to own.
Right.
I'm going to take this example. That was a great example for business and corporate. I'm going to take this down to the personal level. For those of you that may want to get an idea of what this looks like on a personal level. Now, let's suppose that you're at home at your mom's house, and your mom has a beautiful vase. And this is a vase she's always adored and whatever. And for whatever reason, you get rambunctious with your siblings or whatever, you trip, whatever happens, you knock the vase down and you break it. And you realize that you've done something wrong, but you reach inside your wallet and you pull out what you think that the vase is worth. And you pull out $100. And mom comes in and she starts to freak out. And you say to her, No. It's all right. Here's $100. That's taking responsibility because you broke it. Now, there's one step further that most of us never think about when it comes to how we interact with other human beings, and that's accountability. So what is it to be accountable to breaking that vase? And to be accountable is actually to be able to sit there and allow your mother to tell you how she feels about what you just did. You see, we skirt accountability very quickly.
Yep.
We skirt accountability because we don't want to take on the consequences of our behavior. Ooh, take that on. The consequences of your behavior. Unless you change the behavior, then you're doomed to repeat it again. So in this particular situation, sitting there and listening to mom cry without stopping her, sitting there and taking on how she feels about this vase and being, this is not about responsibility. It's easy to pull out a $100 bill and say, oh, I'll buy you another one. It's more difficult to listen to mom cry and to take that in. So hopefully that lended some perspective that we should all look at Johnny's point of view, my point of view, or my example. And it's the same point of view. The examples that we gave, that you look around in your lives and you ask yourself that question, I would say in my life, Johnny, that I could say I'm very responsible. I can say that I'm willing to take on responsibility and be responsible. But am I willing to be accountable for my behavior or actions? That's a whole different story.
Yep. And I think in today's environment, in today's world, in today's society, we see so much of passing the buck. passing the blame.
Yeah.
And it's just
what does it mean? Where did that come from? The buck stops here. I don't even know.
But that's exactly right. Now, I would say this. Now, that when you think about it from a business environment, because I love the example you use about the Voss, Daniel. When you think about a business environment, people out there may be thinking, well, wait a second. I have a responsibility of X number of people, and if they don't perform, then I get in trouble. But if I don't perform, my boss gets in trouble. That's not considered waterfall syndrome. Ultimately, that's accurate. So let's just say, just for a moment, and then I want to go back to your example about the Voss again, because I think that's much deeper. And I think that's ultimately where we need to take this dialogue, at least in my opinion. I'd love to hear the caller's perspective. But let's just say I am a senior executive, right? I'm the president of a company, and I have X number of direct reports, and those X number of direct reports have a group as well. If my superior, I know that my boss will be held accountable for my performance, but my boss, my supervisor, entrusts me or gives me the responsibility to manage, let's just say, X number of employees and X millions of dollars. Now, he or she is going to expect that I'm going to do some of the most basic elements of leadership, right? Setting clear expectations, communicating, educating, providing clear measurements, follow-up recognitions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if at any point in my organization there's a cog missing, he or she's going to expect that I am going to address that. Because in any well-ran organization, every individual has very clear roles and very clear responsibilities. If and when those leaders cannot live up to those responsibilities and fill those roles, then the conversation shifts between myself and them. That may mean we work on them from a developmental perspective. It may mean, you know what, we find that they're miscast, find a different home. It may find that they're miscast and we need to find them a different company. But ultimately, it's my responsibility, and my boss is expecting me to make sure that I lead in a way that always has everyone's best interest in mind. The company's best interest, his or hers, mine, and the employees, ultimately. When you do that, and you address those behaviors, and in this example, we're using a poor performer, you address that performance, naturally, what you would think is, although there's going to be a growth period for the new employee, whoever the replacement is, coming on board, the performance that your supervisor is ultimately looking for will arrive. Now, in that particular example, yes, I would be holding my leadership team, or in this case, this one individual, accountable for his or her performance with regards to the roles and responsibilities that they need to fill. If, in fact, I did not address those behaviors and that individual did not perform, fill his role or her role, and complete their responsibilities, and it affected ultimately the end outcome, at that point, my boss would have every right to come to me and at that point make whatever decision he or she had necessary to get us course corrected. So that's what I say is you can be responsible for something and ultimately be held accountable to that outcome. It just depends. I mean, it's just how clear is in the job description, how clear is the communication, the expectation setting, all of those things. Now, I go back to the conversation that you were just sharing about your mother's vase, and although that sounds, because you and I have had this similar conversation so many times, Daniel, I'm beginning to wonder if there's something you want to share with me about this vase and visiting your mom's house. I know you just got back from there last night.
Yeah. I didn't break anything, I promise.
But as I think about it, though, where the gap is in accountability, and I think this is what's so interesting, is we're using it from a negative standpoint, the negative connotation of the word. If you use it in the positive as well, and it's truly accepting ownership for your behavior, it's when I've done something wrong, it's not just about pulling the $100 bill out, it's truly being accountable for your reactions, your actions, what you've said, and ultimately, your effect on the outcome and or how your behavior has affected another human being and or a team. And it's real easy, and this is the big difference, because when we talk about responsibility, that's a task, right? I broke the vase, I forked out the $100. accountability is the emotional aspect of it. And emotional could be, you could say, well, even if it's a big company and I'm going to end up getting fired. That's a human element of it. There's everything is emotional about that. So you have to be able to make that a connection from an accountability standpoint to say, where's the emotional tie to this, whether it's at work or at a personal level, and am I truly accepting my role in whatever the outcome may have been?
You know, I like the eight. For you're funny about that vase. Mom, if you're listening, I promise you won't find it. No, really, I didn't break anything. It's just an example, Johnny. Anyway, so for those of you that are trivia buffs, I like to look stuff up. I did look up where the buck stops here comes from. President Truman. President Truman was sent the buck stops here by a friend in 1945 and put on his desk. And so that kind of came into play because he used it a lot during his addresses about the wars and different things that he was dealing with, and he would say the buck stops here. So just for trivia, I don't know why we had to go there, but we did.
No, actually, I think that's interesting you said that. I have read that same thing somewhere, and when you asked the question, I thought, God darn it, of all times not to be able to remember it. You know, Danny, I got a question for you, though. So as we're having this dialogue, and you and I, you know, outside of the business environment, we work with a lot of our clients one-on-one from a coaching and mentoring standpoint. So this is well above and beyond business. And so there were homemakers, CEOs, students, whatever. But I guess I'm kind of curious from your standpoint and the folks that you've dealt with as you continue to address. When we talk about accountability and responsibility, one of the things that we see today is, you know, the passing of, you know, it's like the whole blame game, that it's so difficult for people to accept responsibility for the outcomes or for their behaviors or for their actions. And quite often it's much easier to say it's Johnny's fault, it's Daniel, it's Susie's, it's Jimmy's fault. That's why this didn't get done. I told them they had to do it. And or if I should have done it myself, I'd have known to get in. I mean, what's your perspective? Why is that? Is it a generational thing? I mean, personally, I don't think it is, but why do people tend to pass blame as opposed to accept responsibility?
I think that they first of all, I really do believe based on the fact that I get to do this master life coaching thing that I do, that I absolutely enjoy doing. I don't think people, this is why I think this show is so important, because I don't think people know the difference. I don't think they know the difference, and most of them are being very responsible. You know, if you take a person who's speeding down the freeway, and he gets, 17 tickets. I saw somebody on TV today got 17 tickets. You know, he got 17 tickets, but he paid for them. That's being responsible. However, he's not being accountable to the system or to his fellow human beings who are driving by continuing the behavior. And so if you look at this from a perspective of individuals, even the CEO of a big company, all the way down to an entrepreneur or a small business owner or individual, we can be responsible for – and this is where I think – let's dig a little deeper into the human psychology. I think people have gotten themselves in a rut of responsibility without accountability. In other words – I'm willing to take responsibility for what I did, or I'll take responsibility that I'm not doing the things I need to do to lose weight, to make more money, to be abundant, to live a life of high level of spirituality, whatever it may be. But they're not taking accountability for creating the behavior or changing the behavior that gets them the end result. And so this is the quandary I think a lot of people get into, because at the end of the day, when I'm working with someone, I say to them, okay, so I can hear you're being responsible, but to be accountable is to change the behavior, change the eating habit, change the spending habit, change the management habit, change the whatever. It is in that change. Now, you know as well as I do that change is the one thing that people don't like. They don't like to have to go in there and change the behavior. So, in other words, if I wanted to lose weight and I was being responsible by maybe eating better, but I knew that to be accountable, I'd have to really change the way that I was living. In other words, I'd have to work out every day, go to the gym, not only just eat, but to be accountable to change my behavior completely in order to lose the weight that I wanted to lose. So people around the world, then I think, Johnny, the big thing is that I think they do get confused between the two. And I want to challenge everyone that's listening to this show today to think about that. Think about where you are not getting the desires of your heart, where you're not getting the results. And this is true about business, it's true about individuals, it's true about entrepreneurs, small businesses. Think about where you're not getting the results, and whether it be you or a subordinate within the structure of your company or corporation, you might need to look at the behavior. Where's the accountability of the individual? You could say, yeah, all day long. You know, Johnny, you and I both manage people that you keep telling them over and over again, and they tell you that they're getting it. And I think in their head they are. But what they're not being coached on and they're not being taught on is that there is a difference between the two, and that when we take accountability, we are personally putting our stamp of approval. You know, that's what the buck stops here is all about. Well, the buck stops here. I'm the president of the United States, and there ain't anybody else. I'm it. So when it gets to me, this is where it stops, and that's the way we got to look at things in our personal lives. If we're going to make and create the changes in our world and in our lives that we desire, we've got to begin to look at accountability and actually make the behavioral changes that it requires for us to get into that space that gets us the results that we're looking for. And then staying there in every area of our lives. Every single one of us here, I've often said that everything we could possibly desire is at the fingertips of our awareness, and that fits into corporate situations and it fits into personal lives. And so that when I look at accountability versus responsibility, I do look at that. I do think that the buck stops here. And we individually have the ability to change the environment or the course of our lives by just understanding those two words and acting on it.
Yep. I think that, you know, as you play that out a little bit more, I think there's it's one of two. It goes one of two ways. When you talk about why don't people hold themselves truly accountable and experience the emotional aspects or the change? I think so much of it, and it's built into our DNA, unfortunately, ever since we were children in the competitive environments that most of us grew up in, it's fear. And people are afraid. And they're afraid to be seen as weak. They're afraid to be seen as vulnerable. And when you are accountable for your actions, that means you're admitting that you're vulnerable, that you're not perfect, and that, Lord forbid, you are at fault of doing something less than perfect. And the more challenging side is, even if you can in many ways hide that fear, the bigger part of accountability is courage. And Daniel, you and I did a show here, it escapes me here in the last, you know, four or five episodes, it was Courage and Fear. And in order to truly affect change, and you think about, you know, let's take it to the extreme for a moment. Think about addiction. That if you want to talk about true fear, if you work with an addict, someone who is at a life or death situation, who is struggling with the disease day in and day out and just can't get this monkey off their back, there's nothing scarier than that on the planet. Because you are at a dead-end game. I watched, I'm a big Dax Shepard fan, and he did Sam Jones interview here recently, and I was watching an audio television set, and he was talking about addiction and how he was faced with the end outcome. It's either stop or die, right? And the fear that goes along with that. Well, at some point, the vulnerability inevitably shows up, and then getting the courage to actually make that change and to do something different. When you're up against a life and death situation, as easy as that seems, we all know that unfortunately far too many people die from addiction in today's world. So to say that even in a life-death situation that it's difficult, how about those situations when it's not life and death? So I would challenge folks out there and say it's okay, right? This is not easy, and that's why the other thing is, and we're not talking about just like leaders and CEOs and big companies. We're talking about every individual in every role in every society at every age. And accepting true responsibility and accountability and for your behaviors, for your emotions, and those in which you inflict or that the impact that your behaviors have on another human being and or outcome, that's not as easy as it says. So I guess that's just another way. It's kind of how I think deeper about it, Daniel, because if it was easy, everyone would be running $50 billion companies and taking over the world, right?
Well, and I think you said something that I want to go back to that both Johnny and I love doing, and that is the reason why coaches exist and why you might need a coach is because, you know, human beings are interesting in that everybody says they want to do it themselves. However, we will only push to the threshold of pain on our own.
Right.
Think about working out. You know, you'll work out, yeah, and you'll get results, but you hire a coach because you need to get past the threshold. And it's not any different in emotional situations where you need a coach to help you understand accountability and responsibility from the outside. Someone looking in without emotional tie, that being a coach allows you to do that. And both Johnny and I do that, and I want to encourage you. I'll give you my website, and Johnny will give you his in just a minute. If you're interested in having a life coach, a master life coach work with you, you can call me at or you can look me up at danielgutierrez.com. And it's danielgutierrez.com. Johnny, how do they reach you?
Livingwithpurpose.today. My website's always the best, but you can find me on Twitter and all the other social sites. But livingwithpurpose.today will get you to me just as fast, Daniel.
There you go. So, folks, if you need help with it, and this isn't all the way from the corporate room, boardroom, all the way down to the individual, we have the skill set to be able to work with all those individuals. Both John and I have the experience. Johnny has executive experience, and I work with people all over the world. So we want to encourage you to give us both a call. We want to thank you for your time, and thank you for being here. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. And until next week, have fun.
God bless.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.